of the human race perceive God to be either a father or the author of salvation, or propitious in any respect, until Christ interposed to make our peace. Still, it is one thing to perceive that God our Maker supports us by His power, rules us by His providence, fosters us by His goodness, and visits us with all kinds of blessings, and another thing to embrace the grace of reconciliation offered to us in Christ. Since then, the Lord first appears, as well in the creation of the world as in the general doctrine of Scripture, simply as a creator, and afterward as a redeemer in Christ, a twofold knowledge of Him hence arises. Of these, the former is now to be considered. The latter will afterward follow in its order. But although our mind cannot conceive of God without rendering some worship to Him, it will not, however, be sufficient simply to hold that He is the only being whom all ought to worship and adore, unless we are also persuaded that He is the fountain of all goodness, and that we must seek everything in Him, and in none but Him. My meaning is, we must be persuaded not only that as He once formed the world, so He sustains it by His boundless power, governs it by His wisdom, preserves it by His goodness, in particular, rules the human race with justice and judgment, bears with them in mercy, shields them by His protection, but also that not a particle of light or wisdom or justice or power or rectitude or genuine truth will anywhere be found which does not flow from Him and of which He is not the cause. In this way, we must learn to expect and ask all things from Him and thankfully ascribe to Him whatever we receive. For this sense of the divine perfections is the proper master to teach us piety, out of which religion springs. By piety, I mean that union of reverence and love to God which the knowledge of His benefits inspires. For, until men feel that they owe everything to God, that they are cherished by His paternal care, and that He is the author of all their blessings, so that naught is to be looked for away from Him, they will never submit to Him in voluntary obedience. No, unless they place their entire happiness in Him, they will never yield up their whole selves to Him in truth and sincerity. 2. Those, therefore, who, in considering this question, propose to inquire what the essence of God is, only delude us with frigid speculations, it being much more our interest to know what kind of being God is, and what things are agreeable to His nature. For, of what use is it to join Epicurus in acknowledging some God who has cast off the care of the world, and only delights Himself in ease? What avails it, in short, to know a God with whom we have nothing to do? The effect of our knowledge rather ought to be, first, to teach us reverence and fear, and secondly, to induce us, under its guidance and teaching, to ask every good thing from Him.